deep in the heart of the Welsh valleys, a young man had a deceptively young and unfathomably handsome man had decided that it was his destiny to become the greatest dog agility handler the world had ever seen. So he set about learning his craft. His front crosses were crisper than a dry December morning in the Brecon Mountains. His catchkers were slicker than a boiled pigeon in a rubber tube sock. The intensity, accuracy and speed and natural flamboyance he brought far surpassed anything the sport had ever seen and would ever likely see again. The time was approaching where he would be ready to shine on the world stage and begin his legacy. But he realized, to win any battle, you must first know your enemy.
Hello everyone and welcome to a new season of Know Your Enemy. The first guest of the new season is the well-known Instagram account called Agility Memes. Now I wish I was able to give you a name to introduce them properly, but for obvious reasons, I can't do that because I don't know who they are. So for all of you who are going to be asking me who's Agility Memes, I'll say it now, I don't know. But all I do know is that they are good people and we had a great time having a conversation about their Instagram platform and dog agility in general. Now, one thing that you might be aware of as their podcast runs through is that my voice sounds a little bit different in places. And that is because I have tried to conceal Agility Meme's voice, but I couldn't split the audio file. So sometimes the effect goes onto my voice and I sound a little bit like Kermit the Frog. So laugh it up. And just know that it wasn't intentional. But if anyone is going to break Agility Meme's secret, it sure as hell isn't going to be me. And just before the first episode of the new season starts, please give a few moments to listen to our new sponsor.
Hi guys, Dalton and Jody here from Better Dog.
We have just launched our new product, Better Hydration, the goat's milk hydration drink for dogs.
It's packed full of natural ingredients designed to give them that extra boost whether they are working, competing or just simply enjoy an active lifestyle.
Head over to wearebetterdog.com to find out what it's all about and use your exclusive discount code WRONGENDOFTUNNEL for 10% off.
Because every dog deserves better.
I'm a massive fan of what Better Dog produce and what they stand for, and I could not be happier that they are now on board and part of the team. Go and check out their website, and if you haven't already, give their product a go. I promise you, you will not be disappointed, and neither will your dogs. Thanks for listening in, guys. Enjoy the episode. Okay, welcome back again, everyone, and on today's Know Your Enemy, we've got a very special guest, but you are not going to see what they look like. This week, I can only refer to them. I feel a little bit rude because I'm not calling them by their name, but there will be obvious reasons for this as the episode goes. So today, we have got Agility Memes.
Hi.
Welcome. So, a big name now in the agility scene, and I'm sure there's lots of people who are going to be looking forward to listening to this episode. Now, for those who don't know, I can't even say my usual introduction because I haven't really given you a proper introduction, but do you want to give anyone who potentially doesn't know a little bit of background information of what Agility Memes is?
Well, I can. I mean, Agility Memes basically is an Instagram page and a Facebook page where I post memes about our sport, about agility, and I try to post 3 times a day. Sometimes it works, sometimes it's less, sometimes it's more. But yeah, in general, it's just silly memes about our sport.
Yeah, and I personally, big fan, I find them pretty funny. I wish I could make my own page a meme page, but I don't think that would work. But yeah, I mean, I think it's a cool page, and I know lots of people enjoy it as well. So I thought, why don't we get you on here and find out as much as we can without giving too much away. So first things first then, obviously, we know that now you are Agility Memes. I can't ask you who are you today because that might give too much stuff away. So what we're going to start with is, when did you start in dog agility and why?
Well, I started when I was very young. I would say it was junior's age. And I started because my parents got a dog and they wanted to do something with that dog. And then my mom got into the sport. And then I kind of just slipped into it. Like, it was very gradually. But, like, I started out reading books right next to the agility field, and then I wasn't reading anymore, but watching. And then I was like trying to give my mom corrections on the things she was doing.
And then, yeah, it just naturally evolved from that.
Were your parents already into kind of dog training, or was it a pet? I mean, I know they're all pets, but was it a pet dog that moved into agility, or were your parents already having some kind of background in it?
No, they weren't actually. It was the first dog ever that got us into it. We got her when I was around six. And then, like many people do, they just went to a training center. And during ground training, like basics work, yeah, for like heel work and stuff, my mom watched the other dogs like on the neighboring field do agility, and she was like, well, that looks fun. And then she just got into it, and then I got into it.
Yeah, that's kind of how my wife, who was the first one of us to get into it, that's what she did. She did a degree in canine behavior, and then we had a dog that she took to obedience classes. And he was really good at that, but they were doing agility the other side as well. And that's how she got into it too. So it's quite a coincidence, I suppose. Now, I'm guessing this is fairly obvious, but I suppose we better ask it. Do you actually compete in agility, or are you just involved with the training?
Well, I like competing, but not as much as training. So I compete like my fair share, but it's not like the main thing for me.
Yeah.
Because I know many people think that I'm like some sort of big name, but I'm not. So I'm not competing all that much.
But you do compete then, but training is kind of where your passion lies more, perhaps, is it?
Of course, yeah. Because I like to say we're training world champion. it's like way less pressure for me. I just enjoy taking my time, allowing mistakes to happen, because that's the only way we'll ever learn. So I feel more pressured in competition.
Yeah, you can certainly put more pressure on yourself, can't you? Looking for a result rather than just kind of trusting the process and focusing on what is in front of you. So I totally understand that as well. Again, this is one of those questions that I'm not sure whether we can ask, so you can let me know if not. But who was kind of your first big influences? And let's look at dog training in general, and then if it doesn't overlap, in agility specifically.
Oh my God, that's like a hard question for me. I mean, I've been thinking about that for a while, because I know... Well, I've been rethinking that for a while because of like recent things that I've discovered in my training and like how I want to be as a trainer or like a handler for my dogs.
Yeah.
So I would definitely say I started out looking at people abroad more than closer to home, because I felt like at home it was like I knew what they were doing. Like I could see that on my trainings every weekend. So I was starting to look at Susan Garrett a lot, actually. And I love her idea of giving dogs options and giving dogs time. Like I love watching that. And then I actually got, as I got into agility, I got into Crofts. So I was watching a lot of British handlers, actually.
Yeah.
And there's so many that I still watch to this day that I'm kind of secretly stalking.
Yeah.
So I don't want to give that away because maybe it's a bit weird telling people who are stalked.
Some people would be finding it a bit weird that Agility Memes is stalking them. They'd probably start panicking as well, wouldn't they? Thinking
that you're going to possibly meme
them, yeah. But that'd be something for them to be watching over their shoulder for. In general, I know some people know certain things about the dogs that you've got, but would you say you're a big dog person or a small dog person, and then why?
I think I'm a crazy dog person and a light built dog person. So I love my dogs to be kind of daintier in build. I want them to be able to turn quickly. I want them to be able to feel their bodies. And I feel like that's just easier for light built dogs. And for that, I'm definitely not a small dog person, but I think everything from medium up is great.
Yeah.
I prefer the intermediate size. I love that we got that in 2023 for FCI wide.
Yeah.
I love that because I feel like it gives so many dogs and breeds, especially, more chances to actually compete in higher grade agility. So yeah, I'm right there.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I think that was a massive step as well when the intermediate height came in. I think that was, like, for a lot of people, good news. Then, is the biggest lesson that you've learned since your dog training journey began? And, like, it could be something that changed the way you look at dog training in general or competition, kind of up to you. Because, like, I know you said that you're enjoying your training side of things. So is there any lesson that you've learned since you started that you wish you knew at the beginning?
Well, definitely listen to the dog right in front of you. Because I feel like in the beginning, I was, like, very trying to be like those people that I saw, be it online, be it at home and training. And it just didn't work out for the dogs I had at the time, and it won't work out for the dogs I have now. Like, of course, there are certain things that I can implement, but I just can't, I can't follow a simple set of, okay, you do that, you do that, you do that, and then you have a world champion dog.
Yeah.
But that's just not how it works.
I wish it
did. I know that now, and it would have, it was like a lot of frustration actually building up for me when I was like, I'm doing all those things, but it never seems to work out for me. So what am I doing wrong?
Yeah.
And then I heard, I think it was even, was it Susan that said it? The dogs do best in the environment we put them in with the things we taught them or something like that.
Susan, I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either, but I think it was her. I think I just remember it being like, it's connected to her in my head. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I was like, I think that sums it up really nicely, knowing that not every dog can and will be world champion, and knowing that every dog needs to be treated according to how do you want to be treated.
For me as well, that's kind of down to experience, isn't it, with regards to knowing that is the case, because I know that I was definitely, I don't want to say guilty, because it's not as if you've done anything wrong, but I was definitely of that mindset that if I do X, Y, and Z, I should be absolutely fine. But it's not like that, because like you said, not all dogs are the same. And learning that and having the experience to read the dog in front of you, I think is something that can only really come from experience as well, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And it's getting easier by the dog as well, especially like seeing different dogs in training. Not only my own, but the people that I work with sometimes, even those that teach me. So yeah.
If you could steal a dog from each height, what ones would they be? And like, you can go from each height if you want, or you can just pick one or two, completely up to you.
Oh, I think I want to go for each height, because I've been thinking about that before our interview. I was thinking for the small dogs, even though I'm not a Sheltie person, I just love Aggie from Kiesti.
Yeah.
She just seems like a phenomenal dog. And, like, Kiss is a phenomenal handler. And then for medium, I think it would be either Suri or Ru from Nina Kosevich. So from Spain.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, I love seeing them work together. I feel like she's got such a unique handling style with each of her dogs. And then for intermediate, it has to be, of course, it has to be Lyric. From Germany. She's just she seems perfect in every way, and I'm still mad that they won't breed her for another time. And then for the large dogs, it's probably the Malinois from Nikki from Greece.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know, I have a special connection to Malinois.
Of course,
yeah, because I don't know how many people know, but you said to me that was one of the things that you have told people about yourself, is that you already own a Malinois, that's right?
Yeah, it's one of our breeds.
Yeah.
And that's, like, public knowledge. I've said that in, like, one of the first Q&As ever. And, like, that's... Well, I can't backtrack that. Of course, yeah, one Malinois.
I can't take that back. So I know that, again, competition isn't perhaps, like, your priority, but what is one of... again, this might be something that gives it away. I don't know. What might be one of your favourite competitions?
I think to watch... I just love watching World Championships. Especially because knowing that the skill set of dogs and handlers is so, so high there.
Yeah.
And I just love seeing the judges come up with even challenging things for them. Like, I know that handlers prepare for that mentally and physically, but it's still things they're not met with at everyday competitions.
It was the double dog walk last year in the AWCs. That was the thing that caught everyone, not caught everyone out, but that was the thing that I don't think people expected to see anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Things like that, or the from the AWC in Austria, where the crazy weave entrance, yeah. Where people were just like reenacting that at home. So I just think challenges like that is what keeps our sport growing.
Yeah, for sure. Have you got any favorite judges with regards to course design? Any judges you kind of look out for?
Well, of course, Kina. And she's got a special place in my heart anyways. I just love watching and seeing her courses. And then I think Neil Ellis holds a special place in my heart as well.
Yeah.
We'll see about that in the future. I'm actually running a few of his courses this year.
Does he know?
So not much change.
He knows now, doesn't he?
And then, who else can I think of? I mean, there's a lot of, like, local judges that I can't mention.
Yeah, of course.
that I look up to a lot. I think generally judges that just listen and learn either from themselves, but also take advice from other judges.
Yeah.
For example, like the game of judges that's going to be happening in, is it Slovakia?
I know where they like about. Where I'm all the sure judges meet. Is, yeah.
Where the judges meet and just like go over course design and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, of course, Jan Egeleide. Like he's a big name, and I love his courses, and I also love what he did for the Greek team, where he helped them get international agility judges. Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's done a lot for the sport in general, as well as just in Norway. I think
yeah.
he's one of those that are definitely pushing the sport forward, for sure. Do you know what Mount Rushmore is? I never know.
Yeah, I do.
So who's on your Mount Rushmore in agility, then? And it can, like, this is the thing. I get loads of kickback on this one, because people are like, oh, no, they're not on it.
Yeah.
And it's like, look, it's your opinion. It doesn't matter what, it's not, it is who is on your Mount Rushmore. Who has been the biggest influences for you, or who's made the biggest mark on the sport in your mind? I think you can do four, but if you want to do five, I'll let you do five.
Oh, that's nice of you.
I'm very kind. It's a new year.
So for me, it would be one of the people that I would put on there would be Stas. Just because I think his handling style is very unique.
Yeah.
And it's definitely helped people see the distance handling side of agility as well.
Yeah.
So I think that's very unique and interesting to see. Of course, Lisa's got to be on there, Lisa Frick.
Yeah.
With, like, world champion titles that are unmatched to this day. And then definitely someone from the, like, smaller groups as well. I just love how Kirsty is. Like, just talking to her in general is just... We had a talk the other day, and... We're talking about views on agility, and she's just so down to earth. I just love listening to her and her opinion.
Yeah,
and
she came on
the other week, actually. I haven't released it yet, but she was a great guest. She, again, I really enjoyed her views as well, so I side with you on that.
Yeah, well, she's just amazing. And then I have to have a fourth person. Well, I think you can't have a Mount Rushmore without at least one German. Possibly be Tobias Wüst.
Okay.
Just because I feel like across the board of heights, he's very in tune with every one of his dogs. Like just seeing him at Helvetic Agility Masters was mind blowing to me. Like seeing him adjust so quickly to the different heights of his dogs. And still handling them like quite differently for some part of the courses.
Yeah. Sure.
And I
think to myself as well is like, you know, the amount, the depth of talent in German agility, and these same people get on the team every year, so their consistency is unbelievable to do that, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely have to agree with you on that one.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to move away from those kinds of questions now, and we're going to go more towards the questions directly about agility memes, because obviously this is
the thing
that everyone has captured their imagination, and like I feel like I don't know if I was late to it or not, but I felt like it kind of really took off kind of around the AWCs. Would that be right, or was it a bit before then?
Well, I think for me it would be definitely around the AWCs. I think before that we were not small. No, I think it was still about 4,000 people. But, like, it blew up around AWC, definitely.
And how long then have... Like, how long ago did you start the account?
Well, we had our first anniversary last year. So it's, like, a year and, like, 2 months ago, I think.
I'm trying to think back to
what was the first post I saw, and I can't remember, but I remember I was crying laughing at it. I can't remember which one it was.
Thank you.
Yeah, no,
I think the first post I posted was a meme from was a meme related to House of Dragon that I just recently reposted even.
So what made you want to start Agility Memes then?
Well, there were so many things that I wanted to send my friends memes about, because in general I'm like kind of a meme-ish person. I like to send my friends memes and TikToks.
Yeah.
And there were never any relatable ones for Agility. So I was like, okay, well, if no one else creates them, might as well do it myself.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Seems to have worked anyway, didn't it?
Oh, kind of, yeah.
With Dog Agility, lots of people face the same battle. So you've got like a whole community of people like, oh yeah, I can totally relate to that, whatever one it is you're posting, kind of thing. Why then is it anonymous? Or are you not allowed to answer that one?
Oh, no, I am. Yeah, okay. I can let you into that. But it's definitely for me, first of all, I'm more of a private person, I guess. So I just don't want many people to be watching me. Like, I'm sensitive about that. And just putting myself out there for thousands of people to see would be a lot for myself and for my, like, mental health.
Yeah,
I probably think it won't be good. And then, of course, there's the aspect of I can talk freely about things that are happening that are maybe a bit out of line.
Yeah.
That I can just point out without anyone being mad at a certain person, but just a random page. So that's definitely easier to be calling out things.
Yeah, I think it makes sense, to be honest. I guessed it was that, the more that, like,
that way you
kind of don't have to worry about people not agreeing with you almost as well, isn't it? Because they, you know, whatever the case may be, whether someone does or doesn't, it's just their opinion. But everyone likes to think their opinion is right. So when they haven't got a person to argue with, it makes it a lot harder for them to voice their opinion to a page.
Well, I've had arguments in private messages. It's not like that, but it's still easier to be anonymous like that.
Yeah, you don't have to face the aggro face on, I suppose, and that does make sense.
Yeah.
Do you still enjoy doing it? I'm guessing you do, but...
Well, there are days that are harder than others, I have to admit that, when I personally got a lot going on, like I'm at competition or I'm facing a seminar weekend, something like that, and then I still have to be stealth posting. Sometimes I'm hiding on toilets or behind fences or something just to get the post up, and then I just join back into the group and I'm like, well, did you see that? Or I'm like not acknowledging it until someone else acknowledges it. That's a bit hard, but but I still enjoy it. Yeah, I wouldn't do it if I wouldn't enjoy it.
Yeah, I guessed as much. Have you had many issues with it with regards to people? Because, like, you briefly mentioned it then, were people like being funny with you? Have you had too much of that, or has it been okay?
I think there's an overwhelming amount of people that are just very, very adorable, loving, kind. And, like, whenever I post a rant about something that I'm just upset about, for example, the recent there's groups of people who know you, who you are. There's heaps of people that are like, well, but we don't want to know who you are. Just keep posting, just keep going.
Yeah.
So that there's an overwhelming amount of positive. And I think that drowns out a big part of the naysayers for me.
Yeah, I think that's good that you're able to focus on that as well, because obviously some people would focus on the negative, even though it's by far the minority rather than the
majority.
So I think it's good that you've almost kind of made a point of doing that for yourself. That's going to definitely help as well. Do you have any stories, interesting stories, as a result of starting your page?
I have some, but some are like very, very hinting anyway.
Okay,
so it's just going to have to be
then.
More general.
Yeah, be more general if you've got any.
I think
the weird bond I have with Norwegians now and their raskebrille.
It's just, I don't know how that, I don't even know how that really started.
What was that word again? Say that word again.
But I don't even know how to say it. I don't want to butcher it and then have people come for me for that. But I think it's raskebrille.
What's that mean? What's that?
Oh, it's the fast shades. It's like those Norwegian glasses that everyone at EO had.
Okay, yeah, I know what you mean now. Yeah, I didn't know that's what they were called, but I know exactly what you mean, yeah.
And I'm obsessed with them ever since. I think it started around EO where there was like, you can spot a Norwegian just by looking at if they wear raskebrille or not. And it's just become a very weird thing where I can connect with everyone from Norway, apparently.
That's fine, I suppose. Are they the ones that Keeney wears, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
She's the best model for those.
Yeah, she had them on
the weekend, actually. I was running her courses at the Iconics show, and she was wearing them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They are very, like, as soon as you said it, I was like, yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean. They do all wear them. Have you ever almost slipped up then?
Oh, of course.
I have.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's even, like, sometimes I personally follow some of the people on Instagram as well. And then I've had to backtrack the messages I was about to send to people because I would have sent them from my personal account.
Posting off the wrong account sometimes, nearly.
Yeah, first of all, like that. And then sending private messages just as answers. Because I have, like, sometimes with people I have, like, inside jokes. Yeah. As memes,
yeah.
But I have no idea who I am as a person.
Yeah.
So I've been hinted at the meme, oh, not the meme, but the inside joke, as me, and that would have been, bad.
Yeah, I suppose that's something I never thought of as well, is like, you might speak to some people as your agility memes account and, like, obviously not know each other, but be friendly enough to talk to each other, and then there are probably a couple of times where you've wanted to go up to speak to them as normal and then realise, oh, actually, they don't know who I am.
Yeah, it's happened a few times.
It has, okay, yeah.
We've been, like, kind of waving at people and then just acted like I've meant to wave at someone else.
Oh, yeah, you have to do the old fake wave. It's kind of like, whoa, scratch the head instead.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay. And have you exactly ever slipped like that. Up without anyone noticing?
So, like, you've actually slipped up, given it away, but luckily no one's ever noticed?
Well, I don't think I have, at least to that extent.
Okay.
It's just, I mean, I have sent messages from my private profile to people. But, so, like, I've always been, like, kind of swerving away from that then, or sometimes I was fast enough to delete it and then just write something similar or like not hinting at the inside joke.
Oh yeah.
There's got to be so many I would definitely give myself away, but I think it's that one where, like, you know, like, you're speaking to someone quite freely and, like, you know, we've had conversations now and I obviously don't know you because I don't know who you are. For anyone who comes to me and says, please tell me who Agility Memes is, I don't know. I've said that I don't want to know because I don't want to be the person who gives it up. But it's like, we kind of know, like, we could have a chat now if we met in real life. But obviously, it's just so hard to get your head around that. I mean, you're not able to kind of carry on conversations, even though that would feel properly normal to you, I suppose?
Well, the thing is, I've had conversations on, like, my personal profile with people, and then had conversations about the same thing with the same person on the meme's profile. So it's been a wild ride for some of these things, but I think overall it just has helped me to see a different side of people as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. How many people know your real identity? As in, like, know who you are, Agility Memes, and as your personal. How many people do know that?
Well, that's a hard thing to say, because there's obviously apparently more people than I know for myself. And there's been people added to the list of people that kind of know, but I've not really confirmed, but I've been hinting myself, because there's obviously friendships that have formed on agility memes as well.
Yeah.
Where I've been like slowly and silently hinting more and more in those private conversations who I actually am.
So
it's hard to say. What I would like to say is about 5 to 6 people who are definitely in the know of who I am.
Okay. So still a small crowd at the moment, still a small circle.
Yeah.
Have you heard any speculations about you that you can say are true or not true? Because like I've heard that you're Lisa Frick, but I know that I can definitely say that you're not. Because when we were messaging, I was in a Lisa Frick training day, and as I was messaging you, she wasn't messaging. So I can confirm for everyone listening, Agility Memes is not Lisa Frick.
Well, that's going to take some weight off her shoulders, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
I've also had an insane crowd of people speculate that I'm Anastasia from Ukraine.
Okay.
Who's currently now in Poland. But I'm not. No. I can tell you as much as that.
Okay.
Though I love her. She's amazing. And she's a very kind human. I don't know if there's been more. I know that a lot of people think I'm German. Or like one of those Germans. But then again, I'm not. I keep saying that I'm nobody. Like if people were to actually see me, they wouldn't know it's me or who I am.
Yeah, well,
the thing is as well is like for the people listening now, at this point, everyone listening, you've got an effect on your voice. But I can tell by your accent what part of the world you're from, kind of. So that's I've got a little bit more of an insight than everyone else. Or have you given that away in your question and answers?
I've not. Okay. And I've actually it's so funny that you're saying that because I've had people fooled with my English for being somewhere or from somewhere else than I'm actually from.
So it might be that you're completely off track.
One thing I was going to say is, considering you said when we spoke at the beginning that your English wasn't great. It's pretty good. I would say that you've got a pretty good grasp of the English language, probably better than me, to be honest. So,
yeah, you're doing all right.
Well, thank you for that.
Today's episode is always going to be a little bit shorter because I can't go into the depth that I would otherwise be able to do for other people.
Of course.
Yeah, because we want to protect your anonymity. And, you know, it's really, really important. But what I'm thinking is maybe we come back and we do a follow-up one of these, maybe at the start of the next series or something else, and we can get some more stories from you at that point. We'll just do a couple of personal ones that possibly you can answer. And if you can't, then that's absolutely fine as well. So with regards to agility then, perhaps, tell me something that you've changed your mind about.
Rewarding. Not every dog needs to be crazy for tugging. Not every dog needs to be crazy for food.
Okay.
Reward with what your dogs love.
Yeah, and when before, what was your view? Your view was it had to be with a toy, or...?
I was thinking there was something that was more...
valuable. Like, I was thinking that tugging was the best of the best, and every dog has to love tugging. When in reality, not every dog loves to tug, to tug and get into the... It's kind of confrontational for dogs as well sometimes.
Sure.
And I totally get now that not every dog can love to be tugging all the time. Yeah. So definitely reward the dog the way it wants to be rewarded.
Now, I'm fairly sure I probably can't ask this one, but what are you most proud of?
For keeping my anonymous for as long as I've been. For that amount of people that actually are on my heels and trying to figure out who I am.
Yeah, you've got like a group of, you've got a community of detectives trying to track you down, haven't you?
Oh my god, people are crazy. It's definitely, like, in a good kind of way, and I know that many people don't mean any harm by that. But there are definitely people out there that should be working for the FBI.
Yeah, they got their vocation wrong. They should be doing more detective work. But let's go into the quickfire round then. Like I said, I don't want to ask too much more because I definitely want to at least help you preserve that anonymity. So the quickfire round doesn't take much thought. Just fast answers, I suppose. What did you have for breakfast?
A milkshake.
What flavour?
But is Oreo kind?
Yeah, okay. I can't get behind that officially because I do, you know, a health and fitness platform, but I do enjoy an Oreo milkshake.
Yeah, I know.
What did you Google last?
I think it was Skype because I was downloading, like, the app.
Yeah, makes sense. What's the last song you sung? And when was it?
It was a Spanish one that I don't remember the name of.
Okay. Okay. Do you have any tattoos? Can I ask that?
No, I don't. I wish I had some.
Okay. Okay. So that's good. Then it's not giving too much away by saying you don't. Do you believe in ghosts?
I do, actually. Yeah.
Do you believe in telepathy?
With your dogs, definitely. With humans, it's a bit harder than that.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. So that's all. Like I said, I am so thankful for you for coming on. I know you're taking a bit of a risk and you're kind of trusting me, but like I said, by the time this goes out, we're going to have put all sorts of camouflage on your voice and hopefully, well, not hopefully, we'll definitely keep protecting the anonymity. And again, thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for what you do. It provides a good bit of entertainment for me, at least. And I'm sure, well, not just for me, you know, you've got however many followers you are because of how good the account is. So thank you so much, I suppose, is the best thing. And I would say,
thank is there you. Anything you thank want you to for tell having the people?
Me. But I suppose just tell them about your Instagram page so they can go and follow you if they're not already.
Well, first I want to thank you for having me on and for talking to me and for making me feel safe enough to have that conversation with you.
Oh, no problem. Because
that's definitely not a thing that I would have done if I wouldn't feel safe enough. And yeah, if people want to see the memes, actually, if they've not seen one yet, which I can't believe,
then they can just check out the page. On Instagram, _agilitymemes in one thing, and then on Facebook, it's the same thing.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect. And yeah, I think that's all for us then. So do you want to say goodbye?
Yeah, bye.
Goodbye, everyone. And that is it. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And as always, I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Now do me a favor. Get onto our social media pages and start getting involved. The more that I can encourage you to get involved, share the podcast, the more the podcast can grow and the better guests that we can keep on getting. So get involved. Pass the podcast to anyone you think might like it and make sure to keep up to date by joining us on our social media. Thanks, guys. See you in the next one.